Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast. Today's guest is Emily March. Emily is a New York Times, Publishers Weekly, and USA Today bestselling author of over 30 novels, including a critically acclaimed Eternity Spring series. In this episode, we chat about her latest release, Tucker, her writing process, and of course, a round of book recommendations. Now let's get to the interview. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to talk about my books.
I'm so excited to talk about books with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live in Texas. I've been in Texas for my entire life. And I'm I've been writing for, I think my first book came out in 1994. So I've been doing this quite a long time.
Oh, my God.
And I started out writing historical romances under the pseudonym of Geraldine Dawson. And then in, I think it was about 2008, I started working on the first Eternity Springs book and decided because I was starting something new and launching a whole new aspect of my career, I started writing under Emily March. So it's been a great ride ever since. Tucker will be the 16th book of the series.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We're going to talk about the series in a bit, which I'm excited because I've been diving into the backlist and I'm loving it. So I want to talk to you more about it.
Okay.
So first things first, what inspired you to become a writer?
You know, I think that I always say my dad is really my inspiration because I grew up listening to him tell stories. He was the greatest storyteller I ever knew. And I didn't have that storytelling ability, but I could write. And I think I learned how to tell a story from him. And then I had always been a voracious reader. And I'm one of those writers who just read a book one day and thought, well, I can do that better, or I can at least do it. So I sat down and I tried, and I wrote my first book. And I took a course at the local junior college about writing fiction, and then that led me to a critique group, a multi-genre critique group. And I attended that for about 4 years and took about 4 years to write the book because I was a stay-at-home mom and had three little kids and writing was my escape and the thing I did for myself in that time of life. And, but then I stumbled into a really fabulous career, but not really, really realizing I would do that, but it's been a great, just a fabulous, fabulous career.
I love it. So take us back to the 1990s, 1994, around that time or before that. What was your journey to get that first book published?
Well, like I said, I started writing historical romance, and I love Texas history. I grew up loving Texas history. I got that from my dad. And so writing a Texas set historical romance was a natural place for me to start. And, you know, and that was back before the internet, so you'd have to go to libraries to research books.
Yeah.
I loved that. I loved haunting libraries and going, you know, visiting the places, researching the parts of Texas that I was writing about. And so I just, I was religious about attending this critique group, so I produced pages every week until I finally got the book written. Mm-hmm. And about that time, I found Romance Writers of America. Mm-hmm. And from them, I learned how to market the book and learned how I got an agent. You know, went to a conference, got an agent, and then she ended up selling my first book. So that was really an exciting time for me.
That is really exciting. I love the fact that, you know, it took, without the internet, you still were able to do this. Like, you were able to just make those connections, and then led to the book getting published, and then to a flourishing career as a writer, because you got all these books published afterwards.
I love books, and I love libraries, and I love researching, and I still do. It's just much easier to do these days.
Yeah. So let's start by writing. So do you follow an outline, or do you see where the story leads? Yeah.
Sometimes I follow an outline. I always plot out the story.
Okay.
I don't plot it very detailed. I have a vague plot.
Okay.
I try to be more disciplined in my plotting because that helps me produce faster.
Mm-hmm.
But the books invariably go in a different direction. So I try to be a plotter, but more often than not, I'm a pantser, because you just never know. I always have a vague idea of what the end of the road is, but I'm just never quite sure what road I'm going to take to get there.
Yeah, I understand. And so you have a 16 book series. And so how do you organize yourself as a writer, you know, keeping track of the characters, the town, the different little details for the series?
Well, I have a series Bible that I've been keeping since Angel's Rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep track of the characters, and every time I create a character, I jot something down about them. And same with the places. I have a town map that I came up with. And I, you know, when I build a building in town, I write it, put it down on my map.
Mm.
And I also have a timeline that I keep, because these babies, they grow up, and you have to know from book to book how old. You know, the kids are. And I find in a series this long, I'm kind of getting into what I think of as soap opera time.
Because
mm-hmm. you know how they would grow kids up really fast in soap operas?
Mm-hmm.
And so time isn't exactly linear in Eternity Springs, but I figure readers understand that, and they go with that. Although, you know, I want to try real hard not to have a woman pregnant in book one and she still be pregnant in book three, and, you know, 3 years have passed. So I am cognizant of those sorts of problems.
Yeah, that's understandable. I think it's like when you start writing a series, I think I personally love series because you grow mm-hmm. with the characters, you get to see them, you get to see the different things, different inspiring. So for me personally, long series are like the best thing that could ever happen. But I know as an author, it can be daunting just keeping track of all the details, you know, the character traits, the timeline, the specifics, what happened. So, you know,
And now I don't remember them. I have to go back and review it because, you know, 16 books later, I don't remember what happened in book four. So it kind of, every so often I spend a lot of time on the road because I travel between Fort Worth and my lake house is out in West Texas. And so I spend a lot of time traveling to and fro. And now I'm re-listening to the whole series. The whole series is available in audio, so I can listen to them and double task and, you know, revisit these characters who I've, you know, it was 8 or 9 years ago that I wrote them. I don't remember.
I understand. But that's amazing. So how does it feel listening to your books, listening to your written word?
It's sometimes it makes me cringe because I want to go back and change something and I can't. Other times I get lost in the story, and sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, that was pretty good. You know? So I'm a big fan of audiobooks as a rule. So it's real exciting for me to have my books available in audio. And I think the narrators do a great job. We've had two different narrators in the series, and they both have done a fabulous job.
I love it. So do you get to pick the narrators, or is that something that the publisher does?
Honestly, I don't remember. Kathy Mazur did the first, the books that I wrote for Random House. And then when I went to St. Martin's, they did give me like three, I think, to choose from. And I chose Amy Landon out of those ones they offered me.
Yeah, I'm always curious about if authors have like a saying, or sometimes the publisher chooses, and then the author is like, yay, this is a great narrator, you know?
Yeah.
That's really great to hear. So do you share your work along the way, or do you wait until it's completed for others to read?
I have one friend who's been reading my books for 15 years, and we started out, she was a member of RWA here in my local chapter, and then she moved to Cincinnati and then moved to Georgia, but we've stayed friends, and she still reads my stuff for me and helps me just make sure I'm on the right path before I, but she's the only one that reads before I send it to my editor.
Mm.
And of course, my agent reads them also, and I get feedback from them.
I love it. Yeah, it's always nice to have someone just to be a cheerleader, to just give you some feedback at the same time, you know, to have that longevity, who may be able to spot check different things that you may realize, you know, from book to book, that, you know, may be off and be like, oh, I don't think this character was supposed to be pregnant, you know, something like that, that I can spot.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So let's talk about Eternity Springs. Like, what was the source of inspiration, and what's this series all about?
The source was, I had written three books that were my Callahan Brothers series that, I wrote them for a publisher and never wrote the fourth book of the series, the fourth brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I got discouraged with writing. The books didn't sell very well when they were published. They were published by NAL. And I was really discouraged. And I was like, I'm quitting writing. I'm not doing it anymore.
Mm.
And so I didn't write for about almost a year, and I had been published continuously for, I think this happened in 2008, and so I had been published since 93, so it was, you know, it was a big deal for me to say I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't quit writing. I did for a while, I did for a year, and I felt like the business of publishing had hurt me, and I needed to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And when stories came back to me, I sat down and I wrote just what I wanted to write, and I wrote from my heart. I didn't worry about what the market was. I didn't worry about anything other than the story I wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, Eternity Springs has always been about healing. It's where broken hearts go to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in many ways it was a rebirth of myself as a writer. And I was reborn in Eternity Springs.
Mm.
And, you know, the inspiration came from, actually, Lisa Kleypas. I was sitting talking with Lisa Kleypas, and she said, you should do a healing center.
Mm.
And that was kind of, so I kind of took that and built from it. And it was magic. It was magic for me personally. It was good timing for my career. Yeah, the small town romances were just starting to really take off.
Mm-hmm.
And readers really loved them. I never dreamed I would be writing this series so long, but readers love this place. In fact, probably one of the really nicest things that have ever happened to me career-wise was, I think the third, maybe fourth Eternity Springs book had come out, and I got an email one day, and the lady said, my name is so-and-so, I'm with the Colorado Department of Tourism. And she said, we've gotten a few queries from people wanting to visit Eternity Springs.
Oh my gosh.
She said, I think this is a fictional town, but Colorado is a big state, so I thought I would check with you and make sure. And I thought, because they had people trying to go visit Eternity Springs, and I thought, that's when I know I have done my job right. Mm. And that's been very fulfilling to me. So, so that's how it all came about.
I love it. I'm so fascinated. I love the, when we read Tucker, there's a couple of Eternity Springs mentions, and they visited town, and I just loved the whole idea of the town. Like, I thought it was real. So I've been one person going to Colorado. I'm like, where's Eternity Springs? Where's the healing center? So that's amazing. So the Mark Bright series is set in Texas. So, and it's a spinoff on the Eternity Springs, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So what made you set the series in Texas so as to continue the series in Colorado?
Well, we wanted, because the stories had, the series had gotten as long as it is,
yeah,
we wanted to give new readers an entry point into the series. And so that's why I moved them to Texas. And I chose Texas because, or the Texas Hill Country, because I live in the Texas Hill Country. These are my peeps. I'm from a small town, and they say, write what you know. That's what I've done with the Redemption Texas subset of the Eternity Springs series. And it's nice for me as a writer because I got to create a new world with Redemption and with the canyon, and it just is like a breath of fresh air a little while. Now I'm finding with Boone, the third book of the trilogy, I'm going back and spending most of it in Eternity Springs. So the mini series trilogy is really tied strong into the Eternity Springs world. But it's nice little, you got to travel around sometimes. So
yeah.
That's what I've done with Jackson and Tucker and Boone.
Yeah, I really love the small town Texas. I think I just got a feel. I lived in Texas. I lived in College Station, Texas for a summer.
Oh, did you?
I did.
I'm an Aggie. I went to Texas A&M.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I worked at Texas A&M for a summer. So I had like really strong feelings. And so it just reminded me of like that small town feeling, cowboys hanging around, or there's all these different things. And I love the tidbit. I did not know that Texas A&M and UT are no longer in the same conference. So I was like, oh,
yeah.
New information.
Yep. Yeah, it's been a change, but hey, things change.
Yeah, so it was really fun to see that feeling, and then still getting a sense of like that this is part of a bigger world in Eternity Springs series. There's like the healing that happens in Colorado. So it was a nice setting that just gave you that it felt like it was coming full circle. Like the healing was the way to go.
Thank you. That's what I tried to do with it.
Yeah, so let's talk about Tucker. So he comes from D.C. and he comes from the military, and he comes back to Texas in a place of wanting to heal, which is the healing part of it. And he finds the healing back to nature and building the school. So building the school of the survival, the wilderness and stuff, how much research did you conduct to get this part right for him?
I did hands-on research. I looked for a survivalist school, and I found the one survivalist school in the Southwest that I could go to and didn't have to camp out overnight. I could go back into town, into my hotel room, and then come back in the morning for Survivalist 101 day two.
That's kind of
it. It was a three day school, and they truly did teach Survivalist 101. And I learned how to make a friction fire, which I describe in the book. Mm-hmm. And I went through that process. It was so hard to do, but it was a fabulous, fascinating weekend. And the man who taught it could have been Tucker. He was handsome, and I arrived at the school, and I was like, man, you are my hero. It's like, you don't understand. Cause he was former military. He lives this stuff and knows it. And it was really a fascinating weekend. But the best part was I got to go into town in the Bastrop. It was outside of Bastrop, which is east of Austin, Texas a little bit. And I had rented a room in an antebellum home. And so this great big, bed and breakfast, great lap of luxury at night, then go and rough it during the day. That's my kind of roughing it.
I like it. I like that kind of roughing it. You just do the roughing it during the day, and then you go back to your bed and you're
that's right.
In the bathroom, you know.
I'm too old to sleep on the ground. You know, you can teach me how, and if I have to do it, I can build a shelter now, but I would really rather go climb into a feather bed.
Yeah, I love it. And I love the fact that Tucker lived in an airstream. Like, he was wilderness, but not fully, like, there.
That's right.
So that was awesome. So Jillian was an interesting character. She was engaged, and she had some big dreams of setting up her wedding planning business. And then the relationship implodes, and somehow her dreams were kind of set aside, and she was just healing, that's part of the process, and finding love with Tucker. Would she revisit those dreams in future books, or is that something that she just realized that was just part of the relationship?
You know, I don't know. I one thing I've learned over the course of this career is to never say never.
Yeah.
I don't often revisit characters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from previous books, but I actually have some little ideas floating around in my head right now for the previous Eternity Springs characters. So I don't know. That's the honest answer. I just don't know.
I understand. So you mentioned we're getting Boone's book, and we got hints in the book that we will be getting a book for him because there's some unknown, uncertain things happening. What can we expect about his book?
What can you expect about Boone's book? Well, he spends more time in Eternity Springs. Mm-hmm. Boone is, I established him, I think he first showed up in The First Kiss of Spring. I'm not so he's been in two or three books before before Jackson, the first book of this trilogy. So I have some backstory established for him that, I'm making sure to keep true to. And you've known all along he has a secret. You've known all along that there was some reason he up and moved to Eternity Springs. And so we're exploring that. And I felt like Tucker was a fun, more lighthearted story than I do in a lot of Eternity Springs books, because they are about healing. If Eternity Springs is where broken hearts go to heal, you have to break those hearts first.
Yeah.
So, and when I was writing Tucker, I was to be honest, my daughter just got married. So I was all about weddings. You know, that was my whole life for a year was, my only daughter having her big church wedding. And So that's, you know, I write what I am. You know, I had to write, I was all about brides. So I did a bride book. But now with Boone, I'm taking it. I think it's going to be a little deeper book. We go back to some broken hearts. And I think that's all I want to say because I don't want to give anything away.
I love it. Well, I can't wait to read Ben's book. And I'm reading the backlist, so I'm excited to just join in and see how he shows up in future books in Eternity Springs.
Well, thank you. I like him. He's a good character. He's a good character.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying, I'm writing it now, so I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, that's great to hear. So now let's get to a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share with our audience what they should read next. So what is your favorite genre?
Oh, see, I knew you'd ask me this, and I'm like, I don't really have a favorite genre.
That's okay.
I read across genres. I don't read nonfiction because I want to be entertained. I don't want to learn anything. Yeah, nonfiction is for what, you know, for research and stuff. So I read thrillers, and I read romances, and I read just fun stuff. So if you ask me, I don't have a favorite, you know, it is sometimes you're in the mood for a historical romance, you know, just an old classic Julie Garwood maybe.
Yeah.
Or like right now I'm reading, Lou Anne Rice's new book.
Ooh.
Last Day. Yeah, I'm a big Lou Anne Rice fan. I've been a fan of her for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my go-to series, like, the, I guess maybe one way to for me to say what I read, it's who I buy in hardcover on the day their books come out.
Yeah.
I buy every Patricia Briggs, whether it's the Mercy Thompson series or the Alpha and Omega, the, you know, the day they're published, I buy those. I'm a big Virgil Flowers fan of John Sanford's Virgil Flowers series. I'm a big fan of David Rosenfeld. He's got the Andy Carpenter series.
Okay.
And I especially like those books in audio because the narrator does such a fabulous job.
Mm.
Just makes those characters come alive. Just it's just really a favorite of mine.
Mm.
So those are kind of my and of course Nora. I mean, who doesn't read Nora Roberts, you know? Mm. And I just read a book that my agent sent me that will be out later this year from Jen McKinley.
Mm.
And it's called Paris is Always a Good Idea or something. I may have that a little bit wrong. Paris is something. But okay. It was a lovely romantic comedy that was a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. I love it. So tell us where we can find you online.
There's my website, of course, emilymarch.com. And I'm active on Facebook. It's Facebook/Emily March Books. And we also recently, just last summer, I think it was started a book club group, Emily March Book Club on Facebook.
Hmm.
And it's grown fast. I think we have 700 and something members now. And we do a book club meeting once a week once a month and give away prizes. And right now we're doing a reread of the Eternity Springs series. So I think we're up to book four, maybe.
Mm.
But it's a lot of fun. I've gotten to, people are just really, they've gotten to be really friendly with each other. And so that's a lot of fun for me.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't do Twitter. I kind of think Twitter's evil.
That's understandable.
I am trying to be better at Instagram. I'm Emily March Books on Instagram too.
Okay.
But I'm not as good there. I'm always on Facebook.
Understandable. So we'll have a link to your in the show notes for your Facebook group, as well as to website and all the different places where you can find
awesome.
Thank you, Emily, for being in the show.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. It was a pleasure to talk with you today. It's always fun to talk about books.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.